Legal Q&A with Coulter Roche Lawyers, station sponsor.
The content of this program is intended only to provide a summary and general overview of matters of interest. It is not intended to be comprehensive, nor does it constitute legal advice. Any opinions or recommendations in this presentation have been prepared without taking into account your personal circumstances or needs. You should seek legal or other professional advice before acting or relying on any of the content.
And we say a very good morning to Daniel Black, who is a lawyer at Coulter Roche Lawyers right here in Geelong. How are you, Daniel?
Yeah, not too bad, Mitchell.
Good to see you, and you're looking excited to be here, which is always good on a Monday morning. But you're working in the Wills, Estates and Succession Planning department, but you started out in finance, did you?
Yes, that's right. So when I finished high school, came down to Melbourne did a Bachelor of Commerce degree at Melbourne Uni to start off.
Yeah, and you were working in the finance industry before then, coming back to law.
Yes, that's correct. I worked at in a financial planning firm for about 3 years before going back to uni.
So is law your true passion, do you think?
Good question. certainly I think the circumstances in the financial world, when I was there at ING with the GFC and... Yep. There wasn't much opportunity for career progression there, given the staff-wide.
Yeah. It's probably a bit stressful freezes. As well, I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah, so I always enjoyed the law subjects I did through my commerce degree and just thought I'd go back and try one subject and see how I liked it.
And you've been in Melbourne working in law for 5 years, but then you decided to make a bit of a sea change or whatever to Geelong. How have you found that?
Yeah, great. So, obviously, family has brought us down here, recently married and... the birth of our first daughter, so that's brought us closer to family in Geelong.
Yeah, well, that's great. Good to have you here. But the topic of today is actually not your life story. It is about talking about superannuation in the context of estate planning and what happens to your superannuation in the event of death. So just tell us about, first of all, these estate versus non-estate assets.
Yeah, that's right. So it's important to remember that only assets held in a person's sole name will be dealt with by their will. And these are called estate assets. Now, money that's held on trust is not an estate asset. So many people think that their superannuation is their asset, when in fact it's money that's held on trust for them. So in most instances, a person's superannuation is not dealt with by the provisions of their will.
So that means that there's a few question marks, is it?
That's right. So we then need to look at whether there's been a binding death benefit nomination signed by the deceased member, and if there is, well, that's a clear direction to the trustee directing where the member's superannuation entitlements are to go in the event of their death.
That's a very interesting situation. And what happens, for example, in self-managed superannuation funds?
Well, with self-managed superannuation funds, you certainly can do the binding death benefit nomination form just like you can with an industry super fund, and that will direct the trustee of the fund where to pay the deceased's superannuation entitlements.
So if people aren't in a self-managed super fund, if they're in one of the industry super funds, does that mean that it's all taken care of, that they don't have to worry about this particular problem?
To a certain extent, yes, but they do need to remember that binding death benefit nominations on industry funds must be renewed every 3 years, so it's not really a set and forget. You do have to renew it every 3 years.
And do you think that their actual fund is going to contact them and prompt them to do that, or do they have to remember to do it themselves?
Generally, yes. So when you receive your annual statement, when it's coming up for renewal in that last 12-month period, it will actually state to you that it needs to be reviewed.
Okay. And what about who you can actually nominate as a beneficiary of your super fund?
Yeah, good question. So there are actually limitations on who can be nominated as a beneficiary on your binding death benefit form. Now, these are limited to either a spouse, a child, a person with whom the deceased was in an interdependent relationship with. Now, there's a number of factors that the super fund will look at there. And finally, you can nominate the deceased member's legal personal representative.
Okay. So they've really got to be a connection to the family.
Correct. So we often see people coming in where they nominate their brother or their sister or their mother or father or a charity, and that's simply not possible with a binding nomination.
So you've had people coming in that have tried to nominate the RSPCA or the Salvation Army or something like that.
Yeah, that's correct. We actually had a lady that came into our office who tried to nominate the RSPCA in her binding nomination, and we had to explain to her that you can't nominate a charity on a binding death benefit nomination form.
And is that unique to superannuation, or does that apply to non-estate assets more broadly?
Well, no, non-estate assets, you need to look at the particular trust deed and follow that, because that will direct how those entitlements are to be left.
Right. Now, what happens if there is no binding death benefit nomination?
Yeah, good question. So then it's up to the trustee of the fund to decide who the superannuation entitlements are to be paid to, or whether to pay it into the deceased member's estate.
Mm. And why is superannuation so important when it comes to estate planning?
Well, as at the 30th of June 2013, Australians had approximately $1.6 trillion invested in superannuation. So you can see that there's a very large sum of money that's actually held on trust for people, and it must be dealt with in the event of their death. As the saying goes, two things are certain in life, death and taxes. Therefore, with $1.6 trillion in assets that must be dealt with in the event of people's deaths, it's important to have your binding nomination in place.
Now, in terms of the beneficiaries of the super, does it continue on under the same conditions? For example, do you have to be at preservation age or whatever to be able to claim someone else's super, or does it just get paid to you as a lump sum?
Normally, unless a self-managed superannuation fund has nominated a reversionary pension, normally it will be paid as a lump sum.
Okay. And what about the tax implications of superannuation when it gets passed on to dependents or non-dependents?
Yeah, so that the tax implications of superannuation passing down to beneficiaries is quite a complex area, but essentially there is no tax payable when superannuation is paid to a dependent, and that's a dependent as defined in the Income Tax Assessment Act. But generally, there will be tax payable when superannuation, and that includes any life insurance within the super fund, is paid to a non-dependent.
Mm. I mean, is there an inheritance tax more broadly on estate assets at the moment?
No, there's not. So unlike the UK, where I think it's the first £325,000 are subject to 40% inheritance tax, no, Australia does not have any death or inheritance taxes, so to speak.
That, I mean, that 40% is quite intense, isn't it? Now, well, what about some previous cases where there have been disputes about superannuation? Tell us about those.
Yes, so there are a number of cases sort of going back to, starting in 2005. There was a case in the New South Wales Supreme Court by the name of Katz and Grossman.
Yep.
So that was a situation where Irvin Katz had approximately $1 million in his self-managed superannuation fund. He had one son and one daughter. Now, he had a non-binding nomination in place to pay his entitlements equally between his son and daughter. However, following the father's death, only the daughter was in control of the super fund. Now, the daughter caused the super to be paid directly to her, so her brother missed out. The court held that she was legally able to do that, and this case reinforces the need for a binding death benefit nomination to be in place.
So do we know why only the daughter was in control of the super fund?
No, that's just the way it was set up.
And there was a family dispute or something underway at the
obviously,
time.
Obviously between the son and the daughter.
Yeah.
And as the daughter being the sole controller of the self-managed super fund and the nomination actually being non-binding, then she was able to pay it to herself 100%.
So people need to bear in mind that it has to be binding if they want their wishes to be carried out in full.
That's correct, yes.
And what about the other cases?
Yeah, so there's a later case in 2009 in the Queensland Supreme Court of Donovan and Donovan. And in that case, there was a letter that was written by the deceased to the trustee of the super fund that didn't actually comply with the regulations as to binding death benefit nomination. So it was held that the letter indicating the deceased's wish was actually a non-binding nomination. Now, the widow was then in control of the super fund, and the widow paid all of the superannuation entitlements to herself. Mm. Now, the daughter from a previous marriage received no part of that superannuation entitlement, despite the letter that was written by the deceased indicated that he wanted half of his entitlements to go to his wife and half of his entitlements to go to the daughter. But because it was held to be a non-binding nomination, the wife, following that earlier case of Katz and Grossman, was able to pay it to herself as to 100%.
Mm. And again, with super, we're talking about quite substantial sums of money.
Well, that's right. And it's important to remember that with super, it's also the life insurance component that may exist, particularly with industry funds. So normally when you open an industry super fund, you will get an automatic level of life insurance.
Yes.
That can range between $50,000 and $500,000 worth. So for young people like myself, in the event of death, that can be our largest asset with an automatic level of life insurance of a few hundred thousand dollars.
Yeah, that's right. So people, I think, probably don't know as much about the life insurance component, should probably check that out. And there's one more case that you've got for us this morning.
Well, that's right. There's a very, very recent case. It's only come out about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and that was another Queensland Supreme Court case of Munro and Munro. And in that situation, again, it was a matter where the nomination did not comply with the regulations, in that the member directed his superannuation to go to the trustee of his deceased estate, when in fact the trust deed of his super fund and also the superannuation regulations state that it must go to a dependent or a legal personal representative. So because it didn't actually go to either a dependent or the words legal personal representative, it was held to be a non-binding nomination.
So if people are listening to this today and they've got superannuation and they're still wondering a bit about it because of what you've said and they're not sure what the current situation is, what should they do from here?
Well, certainly they should seek professional advice and certainly come and have a chat to us at Coulter Roach and we'll be able to assist them further.
So it's probably best to talk about this in the overall context of the entire estate plan, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So when people sit down and review their wills and powers of attorney, then certainly superannuation, and in particular the binding death benefit nomination, should be given thought.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Daniel. I really appreciate it. It's an interesting conversation. I think it's probably opened up a few minds to what's going on, so I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Mitch.
Good on you. Daniel Black there from Coulter Roach Lawyers, talking about what happens to superannuation when you pass away. A break and more to come here on Mitchell's Front Page in a moment.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.